Hey, hello, welcome back to Anxiously Artistic. So I'm doing some admin work today and I'm getting ready to prepare for some client work that I need to start processing and invoicing. And this thought crossed my mind of when I first started doing client work. To be honest, it's partly the reason I don't do as much commissioned fashion design. And honestly, I was super young. Well, I wasn't super young. I was younger than I am, but I was also very poor. Let's start with that. I freshly graduated designer coming home from New York from interning. So I needed money and I needed it fast because I had to pay bills. I was still paying bills while I was in New York, there and back home. And so there was a lot going on. I can't exactly remember the year, but it was somewhere between 2016 and 2018. gosh, I'm laughing now because when you think back on it, it's quite hysterical. It's embarrassing. Let's just put her there. So I was very active on social media, a lot more active than I probably am now. And I was going through this phase of just sewing garments left and right. And I had some commission work. There were people in the community that I was making gowns for. Also, I'm not technically a formal wear designer. I do make formal wear, but it is not necessarily my niche, but I'll make anything that you want. So there were people that I knew that needed things made for events. And I was posting things left and right. I was posting me working, garments that I made for myself, garments that I made for friends, stuff like that. And this girl slides, you know, in my Instagram, I think. And she's just like, hey, oh my gosh, I love your work. I want you to make my wedding attire. And I was like, oh, okay, sure, fine, whatever. No biggie. And so we formulated a relationship, or so I thought. Gosh, was I played like a fiddle. And we corresponded back and forth. We talked via Instagram. We had each other's numbers. The whole shebang, right? And I think this was the issue. I don't oftentimes look at these as friendships, but I am friendly and I will be a listening ear. So you get friendship benefits, I suppose, from someone you're supposed to be doing business with. And that was my issue. I didn't draw a boundary for that kind of interaction, but I had never had that problem up until this moment. So we are corresponding and we're figuring out what exactly it is she wants and trying to get a day. Well, she lived in a different state than I did at the time. Big no-no. And I normally travel to do this. Like, I don't have any issue. I charge enough, so this is not a problem. But I had never traveled to a whole nother state, a couple of hours away. And so she gives me an address, right? And I was like, cool, I'll be there. We decide on a time. Let me backtrack. Let me back up. So after we're corresponding back and forth, you know, she's asking me like, hey, do you have any samples I could wear? Just to, you know, get an idea. I'm an influencer. I should have known then, but influencers, I don't think had the same connotation that they do now, or they may not have been as prevalent. I think that was the thing. So my thing was like, okay, she's an influencer, she's gonna put me on, right? I was not thinking straight. Also, I was thinking through desperation. So she was like, yeah, do you have any sample pieces? I'd love to wear them. I'm gonna have a photo shoot, and no, don't worry about it. Like, I'm gonna pay you and you're going to get like exposure. Now, exposure doesn't pay anybody's bills, none, at least none of mine, but I was trying to trust the process. So I can't stop laughing because it's so silly. It's so silly. And I should have, she really taught me to draw up contracts. She really taught me to draw up contracts. So anyway, we are, you know, getting ready to set this date. And she wants me, she's like, hey, I need you by this date. And I was like, okay, fine. And then it was like, oh, never mind. Can't do that. And I was like, okay, no problem. So we finally decided on a date. I go to her home. I bring a piece that I had just made. I just made it for myself. And I was so happy to get ready to wear it because I found this like lace fabric, and I don't really wear lace a whole lot, but I was like too ecstatic to get my behind in this dress. So I carry it with me and I'm just like, oh, here's an extra piece for your photo shoot. You know, you're going to have to pay to rent it or whatnot. Just didn't cost me very much to make because I'm cheap and I like to find fabric for the low wherever I can. And so she's like, okay, sure, no problem. I got no service in this girl's home. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. I've never been inside of someone's home and got no service. None whatsoever. So I do the fitting. I draw out my measurements. I have worksheets that I've created to just get down a basic sketch of like what we want. And so we are talking through, and then she starts telling me about her personal life. And I'm like, yeah, cool, girl. Sure, I'll listen. Like, this really is not what I'm here for. And I do realize this. I'm like, let me complete it, then give me money. Instead of taking a deposit. Silly, silly, silly thing. I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore. But then I did. So we are, you know, chopping it up and I'm there long. Oh gosh, I completely forgot about this part. So I'm in transit there. It took me about 2-ish hours roughly. And she tells me their address. I'm headed there. And then in the middle of me driving, I'm there. And I'm in the Atlanta metro area. If you know anything about that. I'm on 85. And she drops another address and it gets me on. I have to get off on 20 and 20 runs east to west. And I'm like, okay, no problem. So I pull up at this house. And these people are looking at me crazy. Also, the driveway is basically a 90 degree angle. It goes straight up. And I'm not comfortable with that coming in and out of oncoming traffic. And I'm pulling up to this home. And these two ladies are looking at me like, what are you here for? And I was like, hey, yeah, I'm looking for so-and-so. And they're like, no, baby, no. So I immediately am like calling and texting the girl. And I'm like, look, the dress you gave me is not the right one. She was like, oh, my bad. I don't know how that one popped up. Let me give you the right address. That's the old place we were staying at. And I was just like, why would you randomly give me another address in the middle of me like there? And so I had to reroute. It took probably like another 35 or so minutes to get to where I was going. Wasn't even in the same city. But like I said, if you know anything about like the Atlanta metro area, they're all kind of connected. I was so peeved, but I was just like, okay, let me just go get this and you know, finish. I have my kid with me and we are, like I said, talking, conversing. When I get in her home, it smells like smoke. And I, like all kinds of smoke. It was absolutely putrid. I am not allergic to smoke, but a damn near might as well be. It gives me an insane headache. It makes my chest hurt. Like, it's all kind of crazy stuff. So I just prefer not to be around any kind of smoke if I can help it. Just really agitates me. And so I'm having to endure this. We're having conversations as if like we know each other so well, all for the sake of quote unquote exposure. So I'm just like, yeah, I gotta go before it gets late. Also need to run by the fabric store because one of my favorite fabric warehouses is there, so I needed to visit it. We talk about what she wants. She's like, you know, I trust you or whatnot. I just want to say that this was a very toxic relationship. Like, just throughout, the whole relationship was toxic. I'm just like, yeah, I need you to pay me for the garment that I brought, right? Cool, no problem. She's like, yeah, I'll cash app you. And I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm waiting to get it. I need to get it. And I can't get it in the house because, again, it's some kind of vortex. It's some kind of, what do you call those boxes? Faraday a box of a home that I can't receive any signal in. So I'm backing out and I'm just like trying to get signal in the driveway, hoping that it'll finally come through. And she's just like, oh, no, it'll get there. Like, I sent it. Because I don't want to beg anybody for my money. I'm introverted. I don't like to have to do that kind of a thing. But I also don't play about money. My mom's been in banking forever. So she taught me well about like finances. I finally get it. I'm like 30 minutes from her home or something like that. And I finally get the money. And it's just like, okay, cool, no problem. I head to the fabric store. And like, this is a good opportunity for me because like, I'm shooting content, if you will. I was recording and taking photos of like just my process. One, for my personal like self, for documentation purposes, but also for my portfolio. I go through and I get fabrics and I'm just like, this girl is probably not about to pay me a whole lot. So she's not about to get great fabrics. And, you know, so I kind of already knew enough there. It's just like, I'm going to get some cheap stuff and we're going to keep it going. That's not typically how I do. I often give my clients an option, give them options of what they would like to do. They have to pay for their own fabric and I give them things just in their budget. So this didn't go like that though. So I secure the goods, heading back home. You know, in the coming weeks, I'm working on her garment. We're chopping it up every now and again. We're asking questions. She's asking me my progress. And I'm like, yeah, it's cool. It's done or whatnot. But she was just not really giving any indication that she wanted to pay. She was like, yeah, I'm going to send you some money. And I was like, okay. Still waiting. And I'm using my time and my resources to get this pattern built. Building her pattern. Making the garment. And I will not lie to you, I was absolutely infuriated with the process. Not the process of making, because I love sewing, but just dealing with her. Like, I was scammed. I was scammed big time. So, because I do document and I hold records of the clients that I create things for, I have worksheets, forms that I fill out with their measurements and like all of these things and whatnot. So I've got her measurements on there. She would like just hit me up occasionally and she would, hey, what are my measurements? And I'm like, you're entitled to your measurements. You can also measure your measurements, but cool, fine, whatever. And she was like, yeah, because I'm getting fitted for this or I'm getting that, like that, like, yeah, I'm getting somebody to make me some waist beads or I'm getting someone to like do this for me or that for me. And I just was like, that's cool. Where's my moolah? So I don't know if I had her entire wedding ensemble created. I know I had at least a portion and I was almost done making it. I know I had the skirt mostly finished. So she would ask me about progress and I'm like, yeah, it's almost done. Let me know what you want it. Also, shortly after me coming home from visiting her, probably within, I don't know, 2 to 4 weeks, she was asking me like, hey, are you available? And I'm like, available for what? She's like, you do makeup really well. And I wanted to hire you as my makeup artist. And I just was like, I don't do makeup professionally. I can hook you up with someone who does. My aunt is a professional makeup artist, you know. But she didn't want that. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute. So I'm just like, I can try. I know what looks good on me. But I don't do makeup professionally. I have done makeup professionally though. But that's not the point. I've done them for specific reasons, and it's usually fashion events and prom and stuff like that. But this chickadee was like, yeah, I want you to come. My friend's gonna do this. And this is when I figured out what type of person I was dealing with. She says to me, yeah, you know, I've got you. I found you on Instagram. And I was like, cool. And she's like, oh, I found a photographer somewhere. I don't know. She's like, oh, this dude's going to do my photography. And then she said, and my website is going to get built by this guy that I found on Craigslist. He doesn't really want money. He just wants like the opportunity or something like that. And I was just like, sure, baby, sure. And not that people don't want to build websites just for the sake of it. There are companies that do that. I am a witness. But the fact that she was handpicking and specifically singling out people that she thought were either free or low rate just so she didn't have to pay. And that was when I was just like, oh, you think you can pay an exposure? I see. So, yeah, she was like, yeah, I'm planning on doing a photo shoot, you know, as an influencer. This is what I want to do. You know, and I had made her an outfit for free, like absolutely free. It was just some like fabric I had lingering around. And I sent it to her and was like, look, this is yours or whatever. I need my clothes back. She never gave me my clothes back. But that the outfit that I made her was for her. So I had no issue there. And she like rant and raved about it. But only to me. So it was a very weird dynamic. Again, like I said, she kept contacting me over months. Probably up to like a year or so. And I didn't necessarily block her. But I just unfollowed her. And just stop responding to her correspondences because it was just getting, it was too much. It was too much. I was like finding out all of these things that I didn't want to hear, that I didn't like hearing. Like the more she was telling me, the more I was just like, ooh, okay. This is a little unhinged, babes. And like not judging her. It just was the actions that I was just like, I don't really like the direction this is going in. For a business person, I don't think that I should be aligning myself with these types of ethics. I just don't think that they're conducive to the type of business that I'm trying to run. And like I said, she definitely made me think about contracts and start writing up contracts and start doing some other business practices that I have since had to do with other clientele. It was a roller coaster ride. What else did she do? Yeah, she just was like, yeah, we're getting ready to like have our ceremony. Like, where are we at with it? And I was just like, we're at where we're at. When you pay me. So I invoiced her, told her how much it was going to be, all of that, and just saw none of the money. So I say all that to say, don't be foolish like me. don't put yourself in a situation where you think you're bound by the work. I have stated since then that I will fire myself from a project if I feel like it's not going in a smooth direction. I don't like static when it comes to work, because if there's opposition at every turn, that's not an enjoyable project for me, and I'm not going to be able to give you my best work. So I just as soon rather not work with you. So I bow out if I feel like this is a project that's going to cause me great emotional turmoil in dealing with it. And that's not the only time I've gotten scammed. That's not the only time that I've gotten scammed. There have been a couple of other times, but that was when I stepped it up and said to myself that I'm not happy doing this, and you're not going to be happy with the result if I'm not happy. So feel free to, you know, find someone else. And I've had to do that where I'm just like, you know, this project is done. I'm giving you this as part of my duty, but you've been a colossal waste of my time and you don't want to pay for it. So I'm not going to render any more services for you. Maybe in another episode, I will talk about some other times that I've gotten conned and scammed in my work. And there are roller coaster rides. This one was like a little unhinged, not completely, but there's another one that takes this one and kind of stacks the bits a little more. But I just wanted to share that with you, because you can have all the good intentions in the world. You can set out to be the best freelance artist, designer, whatever, the best freelancers that you intend to do. And there are still people out there that do not have the same mental capacity or state or intentions that you yourself implement in your work. And it shouldn't devalue what you do. You shouldn't look at it as you do bad work or you've done bad work. Even in that case, you have to do what you have to do to protect yourself. And a lot of times we don't think about that, but there are people that are out lurking about trying to take advantage of folk like us. So don't feel bad if you have to cut yourself off. Don't feel bad if you have to fire someone or quit a job. It's not a testament to who you are, unless you are that person. But if you generally don't like doing that and it makes you feel uneasy, just know that it's okay. I see you. I've been there. I've been there more times than I would like. And those things that come at you rapid fire, that are quick, some people, some clients, some prospects are just quick to burn you out so that you'll give in. That's just what it is. That's what they want. They don't want a genuine working relationship where they can pay for your expertise. They just want to come and get something for nothing. I've had other clients, other customers that have done very similar things where I've had to get third parties involved. And so just make sure that whatever you do, you have an airtight contract. And you have, even if you don't have that, just have things in writing so that there's no disputes. There are no questions. I typically don't like to handle business via text message, but sometimes that's the best thing because you're able to go back on what was written, what was stated in writing, and there can be no doubling back on that. So don't feel bad, but also don't be stupid like me. Desperate for money. Not that I'm like desperate for money. It just was one of those situations. Like, I needed to do what I needed to do because a girl was hustling. And I have since squashed that hustle culture mentality of me breaking myself in order to put money in my account. It's never been that serious. Now that I think about it, that was something that I did to survive then. And I'm not knocking people who have to do that, because you do have to do it from time to time, or at least you feel like you do. But I've also come to the realization that what is for me will be for me. And this client work that I'm working on now actually is a great illustration of that, because I did some work with this client, gave him a quote like he requested. He asked to look around. I let him shop. No issue. I didn't even think about it, actually, afterwards. I told him if he needed anything, I'd be right here. And he turned around after a while and he was just like, you know what? I like the work that you do, so we can proceed. And I am so thankful to God for that. So I don't want to take any I don't want to take any credit for that. I'm very grateful to God, even for the scamming situation. I'm thankful because it gave me an opportunity to see what I needed to change about my business, because I had worked with people that I knew, or at least from a region that I knew. So you kind of know the ethics of the people that you in the town that you grew around, right? But dealing with people who are outside of that, especially if you want to, branch out. You don't always know what those people are like, and you assume that they are going to be like you are. And I really appreciate the humbling experience that it was. It opened my eyes to start doing more when it came to writing things down and not taking stuff for face value. So anyway, I'm going to start rambling and I hope you all have a wonderful day. Until next time, bye.